This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Rory McMillan, head of Carlisle's external communications across Europe, Middle East, and Africa. This is the latest in a series of Carlisle ValueCasts featuring Carlisle operating executives. And today we are joined by Alistair Morrison. Alistair is an operating executive who is focused on investments across a number of sectors in Africa and other emerging markets for Carlisle. Prior to joining us, he was vice chairman of Standard Chartered Principal Finance, headquartered in Singapore, having co-founded their private equity business in 2002. In that role, he was also responsible for establishing the Standard Chartered private equity business in Africa and sat on their investment committees for both the African and Asian businesses. Prior to Standard Chartered, Alistair worked for over 20 years in 3i, an international UK-listed private equity firm, the last five of which he spent in Singapore running their Asian businesses. Great to have you here today, Alistair. So firstly, what do we actually mean by the term emerging markets?
Emerging markets are countries which are in the process of transitioning to more developed economies, typically growing faster than the mature economies of North America and Western Europe. Although often that GDP growth is coming initially from higher levels of capital and infrastructure spending, which may be temporary. That's what we saw in China over the last 15 years. Recently, they have been switching to lower levels of capital investment and trying to develop domestic consumption. And in the process, we've seen GDP slow down, although it's still growing far faster than the Western economies. It's worth stopping off for a moment, I think, to remind ourselves of a few data points. An Ernst & Young report in 2013, for instance, has identified that we are at the moment experiencing a third revolution in the development of the middle class, the first going back to the days of the Industrial Revolution. Their report states that by 2030, over 3 billion will have been added to the category of middle class, and almost all of those will come from the emerging markets. The Asia-Pacific region alone is expected to grow from one-third to two-thirds of the world's middle class in the next 15 years. And during that time, North America and Europe's middle class population is going to stay flat, but as a percentage of the whole, will decline from 30 to 14%. So the importance of emerging markets is underlined by that data, and that's why we can't ignore them as forward-thinking investors.
What do you think the other key characteristics are that really define an emerging market, Alistair?
First of all, you've got demographics. Young, faster-growing, energetic populations. You've also got the trend towards urbanization, which is taking place rapidly in countries like China and India. Thirdly, you've got technology transfer. The introduction of mobile and smartphones is an obvious example that has liberated young workforces and meant they're no longer dependent on the fixed wiring that used to be the way in which telephony reached people even 15 years ago. In addition, you've got improving regulatory and political environments, in part the transparency that the mobile phone adds to the political debate in these countries has been a powerful driver. Put all those together, and they are the key drivers of growth and development in emerging markets. But I think from a private equity point of view, there's a further characteristic that we mustn't ignore, and it goes back to what the traditional role of private equity was. Private equity is attempting to achieve better returns through putting capital to work where normal capital markets fail to work efficiently. In many of these emerging markets, the stock market process is either non-existent or rudimentary. The banking systems are less sophisticated, and growing companies actually find that capital is scarce. Our job is to identify the potential, manage the risks, select the right investments, and consequently achieve returns that are commensurate with the assessment of those risks and hopefully higher than would be achieved in normal stock market conditions in mature, lower growth markets.
So as we look at emerging markets, Alistair, typically what kind of businesses is Carlyle and indeed private equity more broadly looking to invest in? What's exciting and interesting out there right now?
Rory, it's difficult to generalise because countries and market circumstances have got to be taken into account. And typically what you get is that there are opportunities country by country and there are competencies. There is local competitive advantage that develops. An example would be Thailand, which has been a supplier of food to the region for generations. That more recently has turned into a competence around food processing that means that Thailand is now a provider of foods to the global food supply chain. It produces a very broad range, fruit and processed fruit at one end through to more sophisticated fish and seafood products at the other. But the common theme, I suppose, that I'd come back to is the theme around the emerging middle class and the development of their consumption patterns. But I think two areas that I'd want to highlight as we move into the more sophisticated spending end for consumers are healthcare and education, because these are areas which we know are critically important to middle class consumers in emerging markets, and they are not well served by the state typically in emerging markets. So if I can pick up on that theme, we've seen Carlyle invest in healthcare related services across a range of markets in China, Brazil, recently in India. They invested in Metropolis, where Metropolis is a path lab and diagnostic center. And Carlyle has partnered with them in late 2015, which I think is a very interesting example of this trend that we're seeing and the importance for the middle class of some of these things, which are served differently in those markets from our own. We understand that the needs of the middle class are developing depending on which countries we're looking at any one time. So in Southern Africa, we still have the basic needs of logistics, of the fundamentals of transportation. So Carlyle has invested in a regional logistics company that serves Southern Africa. We've invested in a auto services business that operates primarily in South Africa at this stage, but is looking to move across the continent.
So as I travel myself in many emerging markets, I've seen family businesses seem to be very prevalent. So is that your experience as you meet businesses across the emerging markets?
Yes. Okay. The family business is still a prevalent form of corporate ownership. And of course, it's natural. That tends to be where businesses start. And if you'd looked at the business landscape in the US or Europe 120 years ago, it would have been similar. There are, though, a number of large and successful so-called family businesses in Asia and a number in Africa. They are often built by talented entrepreneurs, but as they grow, they have to be sustained by a broader management team. So one point I'd want to make is that the family business shouldn't be confused with the mom-and-pop businesses. These are sophisticated, successful organizations, but the culture of management is a little different. Yeah. And so working with family businesses effectively is a different skill. It's different from an institutionally controlled company. Relationships matter more typically in these companies, and it is important to develop trust with the key decision makers, both amongst the board and the shareholding group, and those two are not always the same. But the common theme is that the best family businesses are ambitious. They are looking to compete internationally. They are often already part of global supply chains. And they want partners and experience that can help them do that more effectively. And that's clearly where Carlyle comes in. It's where Carlyle becomes attractive as an investor, because our ability to share knowledge and bring experienced advisors and non-executive directors to the table is what they're seeking, as well as money.
As we look at today's challenging economic environment, Alistair, what are you seeing companies in emerging markets doing to respond to the current volatility and uncertainty they're facing?
The last year or so have been a sharp reminder that emerging market investing can be volatile. Of course, in the last few weeks, all stock markets have been volatile, but leaving that aside, there have been some major structural shifts that have to be accommodated. Probably the most challenging in the last year have been the weakness of emerging market currencies, particularly the currencies of primary commodity producing countries. This has caused imported goods prices to rise sharply, consumer spending has become depressed, and companies with US dollar debt are hurting. Now, the better management teams have moved quickly to adjust. Costs have been controlled. Local sourcing is prioritized over imported products where possible, and peripheral assets have been sold to raise cash and reduce debt. While the conditions are tough, actually, what I do see is that emerging market companies are often much more flexible. They have the flexibility to adjust their cost bases, and the better management teams will have seen these conditions before, and they know how to adjust and survive, and in some cases are now beginning to thrive again.
So as we look at the current volatility and uncertainty in markets today, Alistair, what are your thoughts about them through the lens of emerging markets?
Rory, I think the immediate future requires caution. We've got currency weakness for a lot of emerging markets. We've got commodity price uncertainty. Until those settle down, I don't think we've got a mandate to move forward rapidly. As investors, we're picking our way through these risks, but what we are doing is biding our time and working with good management teams. It is easier to spot a good management team in tough circumstances because they tend to outperform their competitors more obviously. We're talking with businesses and management across our regions. We're looking for opportunities with them. My expectation is that it'll take about 6 months before the dust settles and before people feel confident about moving forwards. In Asia, I have seen one or two larger companies that have the balance sheet flexibility looking at acquisitions in Europe and the US to balance their earnings. In Africa, I think the emphasis is much more on finding opportunities to expand within the continent, moving into some of the faster growing markets, which have probably been overpriced in recent years. So for the immediate future, I think we'll probably be looking to the second half of 2016 before we start to put significant amounts of money to work again. But in the medium term, I'm expecting demographic drivers, the ones we've discussed earlier, to reassert themselves. Middle class consumption will continue to be an attractive theme for investment, and well-managed companies will outperform. We've seen volatility before. I've seen it in the Asian financial crisis and again the backwash from the global financial crisis. That's not new. We have to be patient, pick the moment to step back into the market, and as I said, the growth trends will then reassert themselves, and that's where the opportunities to create value will exist. Investors with strong credentials, like Carlyle, are going to be welcomed as partners, will continue to be attractive. And so I expect that we will be putting money to work in a disciplined fashion over the next few years, following up on the things we discussed earlier.
We've been talking today with Alistair Morrison, who is a Carlyle operating executive for our emerging markets business. Thanks, Alistair, for sharing your more than 30 years' experience with our listeners and with me today. It's been a fascinating conversation.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlyle.com. This has been a Carlyle ValueCast podcast.